Welcome to the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Join us this week as our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, delivers his message, Why People Still Worship Jesus Today.
Yes, happy Palm Sunday to you. Thank you for joining us here on the CC Broadcast as we invite you to turn your heart towards the Lord in worship and praise and honor of who he is, as millions of people across the globe are worshiping him. And I want to talk to you today, I'm actually excited to talk to you today about why people continue to worship Jesus. And we learn from his word why. And his spirit is working in the world to draw people to himself, to worship him and honor him for the work that he does in us. There's no greater work going on the planet than the work of God's Spirit drawing people into his eternal kingdom to experience his love. I hope you're greatly encouraged in this time that we spend together today. Let's pray. Father, thank you as we celebrate this great Sunday when your Son was faithful to you, obedient to you, turning his face towards Jerusalem, heading in there on a donkey to do the work that only he could do for us on our behalf. Thank you. We praise you. We give you honor. We ask that you minister to us in this time that we spend together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides.
Our gospel reading today is Matthew's account of Jesus, what we know of as the triumphal entry. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, where it says, Now when they, Jesus and his disciples, drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed behind him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee."
Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come with your strength and your power.
When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, there were clearly many people worshiping him. The Bible tells us that many people gathered, though crowds that went before him and those that followed after him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And then it says, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. They were saying, "Who is this?" Now, many were worshiping him, saying, "Hosanna, save us, save us." And why were they doing this? Because they were awaiting a king, an actual political king, to free them from the oppression of Rome. And based on the prophecies that they knew, and Jesus riding in on a donkey, surely this was their king, the king to reestablish Israel as a strong nation, to free them from the powers of Rome. But when Jesus disappointed them as he walked through Easter week and he didn't assert himself as a political king in terms of the nations of this world, they became disappointed. And not only did they stop worshiping him, but they crucified him. And they shouted, many of them in the city, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And yet, even though they stopped worshiping him, millions of people today are still worshiping Jesus, praising him, crying out to him. And why? The text gives us some hints as to why people continue worshiping him all down through history. Matthew tells us that as Jesus and his disciples drew near to Jerusalem, they came to a city just over the Mount of Olives named Bethphage. And Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead of them, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her." What is Jesus demonstrating here? He is demonstrating the fact that he knows about things he's not even seeing in his physical body while here on the earth. He is looking out into a city in his mind's eye, and he's aware that there's a donkey tied there, and he tells his disciples to go get this donkey. Jesus is demonstrating in a very small way his omniscience, his awareness of everything. This is a man who is all-knowing, and there is nothing hidden from his sight. The idea that he knew there was a donkey tied there is demonstration of his foreknowledge, his knowledge of the past. There is nothing hidden from his sight. Now, this may not initially cause us to worship Jesus. It might even cause us to be nervous about him. Listen, what else Jesus knows? One time, recorded for us by John's accounting of Jesus' life here on the earth, he was talking with a Samaritan woman at a well. And he said to her as they were interacting, "Why don't you go call your husband and tell him to come here?" But the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And then Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is true." Jesus' knowledge of this woman's life and her past was so unnerving to her that she decided to try and change the subject. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." She didn't immediately worship him for his omniscience and his awareness of her life, but she eventually came around to worshiping and praising him. In another instance, Jesus was traveling in a boat, recorded for us in Matthew's accounting of his life. We know of as Matthew chapter 9. Jesus was traveling in a boat, crossing over the water to Capernaum, where his sort of base of ministry was, and he was with his disciples. And when he got to Capernaum, some people brought to him a man who was paralyzed, and he was lying on a bed. And Jesus saw the faith of these people, and he said to the paralytic man, he said, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, that religious leaders who were around him at that time, said, "This man is blaspheming." They said that to each other. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil thoughts in your hearts?" Jesus not only knows what's happening in the physical world and what has happened and what is unfolding in the world around us, but he knows what's happening in the hearts and minds of every human being on the planet. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He sees the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts of all humanity. I'm going to pause right here for a moment and ask you today, friend, how does that make you feel? That God knows everything about you. Not only does he know your name and the number of hairs on your head, but he knows every thought that you and I have. He knows every attitude of our heart. He knows where we're struggling. He knows our anxieties, our concerns, our worries. Does that cause you to want to worship him? Or does that make you nervous before him? That alone may not cause people to worship Jesus. It may just cause us to be a little unnerved before him. But there's more about him. And when you take the whole package of Jesus together, I can't understand why anyone wouldn't just want to fall at his feet and worship and praise him. Let's look a little further at this. In Mark's accounting of Jesus entering into Jerusalem, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into this village in front of you. Immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. What is Jesus demonstrating here? In just a very small way, by choosing a donkey that's never been ridden, Jesus is demonstrating his power over nature. And it's just a hint at his real power. Jesus is all-powerful, not only omniscient, all-knowing, but all-powerful, omnipotent. And he demonstrated this in many ways while he was here on the earth. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke's accounting of Jesus' time here on the earth, they all describe an incident where the disciples and Jesus were out on the open seas, and Jesus fell asleep in the back of the boat. And while he was sleeping, a great storm, a squall, came up. And the disciples became so afraid that they decided to wake Jesus, who was sleeping through this whole thing. And when he was awakened, Jesus simply said this, "Peace be still." And the winds and the waves calmed down. And the disciples were astonished, saying, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" What does this mean about Jesus? He's not only all-knowing, he's all-powerful. There is nothing too hard for him, nothing he cannot do. Jesus is omnipotent, he's omniscient, but those two things alone may not cause a person to worship him. They were in awe of him. Certainly the disciples were. Certainly the woman at the well was in awe of his knowledge. But there was not an immediate response of worship to Jesus for his omniscience and his omnipotence. It's something else, I think, that draws people to this day to worship Jesus. I want to pause for a moment. How does it feel to you to know that the living Christ today knows everything about you and that he's all-powerful? Those in and of themselves ought to bring us to a sense of humility before him. And then this third aspect that's demonstrated in our text today ought to cause us to worship him. The text says that Jesus sent his disciples ahead to get a donkey so that he could ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet hundreds of years before, saying this, "Say to the daughter of Zion," that's Jerusalem, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Why is Jesus choosing to ride on a donkey? What is he demonstrating about himself? He has demonstrated his omniscience and foreknowledge about where this donkey was. He's demonstrating his power over nature by riding on an untamed donkey. But also in choosing this donkey, he is demonstrating, one, his fulfillment of prophecy, that he is the one sent by God. He did this to fulfill this prophetic word that was said about Jerusalem, that their king would ride to them, coming to them, humble and mounted on a donkey. And then it says, a colt, a foal of the beast of burden. He is demonstrating his humility as a king, his fulfillment of prophecy. He's not riding in on a war horse to demonstrate that he's a strong political power. He's riding on a donkey, which in ancient times was a symbol of peace, a symbol of tranquility. And he is demonstrating that his kingdom is not of this world, that it is a kingdom of peace and comfort for those who would receive it. And he is also depicting his role as a burden bearer for all of humanity's corruptions. What does it say? He chose to ride on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The gospel writers tell us that for some time Jesus had turned his face towards Jerusalem, and he was heading there by his own fruition, by his own will, by his own intention, and nothing was really distracting him from it. Nothing was deterring him from it. Even the disciples tried to talk him out of going there. But Jesus was going there because this was his passion. This was his purpose. Why did he come to the earth? To display his power? To show off his knowledge of everything? No, the scripture is clear. Jesus came to the earth out of a great love for humanity. And he chose to ride in on a beast of burden to depict his work here. not just to display his greatness to us, but to declare his love for us by coming into a broken and sinful world and taking up on his back the great pain and suffering of our world caused by the world's corruptions from sin. Peter says it this way. He rode into Jerusalem and he went to the cross there. Through that week, he stirred up the whole city so they would turn against him, so that he himself could be crucified, he himself orchestrating these events, riding on a beast of burden, because he was going there to bear the burdens of your sins and my sins. Peter says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. This was prophesied about him. He would bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. He would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that would bring you and I peace would be laid upon him. Why ride in on a beast of burden? To fulfill prophecy, to demonstrate humility, but also to depict his work on our behalf, bearing the burdens of our sin. And why do this? Because of his love. Millions of people worship Jesus today, not only because he's all-knowing and all-powerful, but he is all-loving, omnibenevolent. He has poured out grace upon the world by atoning for the sins of humanity. And to walk in that love, you and I need to humble ourselves before him, confess our sinfulness to him, and trust his work on the cross to take our sins, forgive them, and remove them from us. And then we can walk in his love. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, for the whole world stands condemned already in its sinfulness. He sent his Son into the world to save the world through him. I want to ask you today, friend, do you have any sense of Jesus' love for you, his love for us as humanity? Do you have any sense of Jesus being your burden bearer? Have you acknowledged your sinfulness to him? Have you allowed your anxieties and concerns and worries to be cast upon him? He bore our sins. He took our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And that is applied to our lives by faith. When God quickens us to believe, and those that believe on the name of the Son of God shall be saved. And when a person experiences his love, not just his knowledge, not just his power, but his saving love, they can't help but just worship him. The scripture tells us that those who understand that they've been forgiven much, they love much. And in a sense, then, they worship him much. They give him praise and honor and glory for who he is. Why do people worship him today by the millions? Because they have tasted of his love through faith in his work for them, belief in his work for them on the cross, where he demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us, bearing the burden of our sin. I hope you find yourself today open to the love of Christ and then bursting forth in worship, praising him for who he is and for what he's done on our behalf. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for loving us like you do. It is love that wells up in us to give you praise and honor for who you are. Stir this in each one of us by the power of your Spirit. And if there's someone listening, Father, who's never opened their heart to you and to your Son's work on the cross on their behalf, help them come to a knowledge of your love, a knowing of your love deep in their heart, as they receive by faith the work that Jesus did for them on their behalf, atoning, paying for the penalty for their sins, so that they might be forgiven before you and walk in the newness of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tuning into today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversations. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time. And until then, may God richly bless you.